This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm 45. I'm from Manchester. I joined the OTI community in October 21. I was sceptical at first because I'm not on any sort of social media, and I've been in a couple of other very large online sober communities before. I was amazed right from the offset at the involvement that Shaz and Ben have in the community. I thoroughly enjoy the Zoom calls, and I've met some pretty good pals along the way that I didn't realise I was in the market for. We've been out for hikes. It's just great. I've been in touch with like-minded people, and it really has been a game changer. So I'd encourage anybody to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. We are the biggest and bestest alcohol-free podcast in all of the land. This will be, I think, if I've got my numbers right, episode 101. We are now into our trip. Have I got that right or wrong?
No, wrong. William Porter is 101.
You know what? This is why
many episodes.
You do the figures. I'll just do the on. That's why it works. I'll stop. My name's Sharon Hartley, useless, from Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am more than four years alcohol free. Took a 90-day break from boozing back end of summer 2018. I thought I would do a reset, you know, just to have a nice sort of decent break. Something crazy happened. Well, just everything changed. It was just the best thing I've ever done. And that's why we are still talking about it on this podcast week in, week out. I fell in love with alcohol-free life. Who knew it could even be a thing? I was a daily drinker, and now I will never touch booze again. Ever. Simple as that. There's too much else to be doing. I don't do this on my own, of course. I am joined by, and he's still, I've still got to say this, father-to-be. Dad-to-be, any day.
Yes, it could be. Hello, my name is Ben. I am 34. I live in Liverpool. Fiancé to Gem and father-to-be. It really could be any day now. But more interestingly than that, Sharon, I am OTI's boring numbers guy. Oh, yes, I love a spreadsheet, especially if it's colour-coded. Talk to me about analytics all day long. I gave up booze over 2 years ago, and I didn't mean to. I was going to have a break, fully intended to go back to drinking the way I drank before that break. I was doing it to kind of prove it to myself, to prove it to you, Sharon, that I could take a break, because I was your producer as a drinker.
I know.
Long story short, couldn't believe the changes. And I was kind of annoyed at the changes. Like, I was like, oh, God, this is actually working. I feel really good. Like, relationships are better. Work's getting better. Oh, God, there's something in this thing. Oh, I'm going to have to carry on to 6 months. Then I got to six, thought, carry on to 12. And now I'm over 2 years alcohol-free. And I will never drink again either. Because objectively, drinker me and non-drinker me are actually really very different people. And I much prefer this version of myself.
Can I just say as well, Ben, hasn't it gone fast? Like the last 2 years. I mean, it doesn't seem 2 minutes ago since the 2020 and 2020 moderation episode. Sorry, I got confused by the title then. God knows why.
Yeah.
And here we are, more than 2 years on. Honestly, it has gone so fast, and so much has happened in your life. It's just, honestly, stay good. You got a baby any day.
Yeah, and I'm getting married next year. I'd quite like it to slow down. In the last 2 years, we've got the house, we've got the dog, we've got engaged, and we've got the baby on the way in literally a matter of days. I'd kind of like, I'm all very lovely things, but very happy to just sit at home and not do much for a while. But yes, it is. In all seriousness, I don't know if I'd be here now in this position had I not given up alcohol. You can never say, of course you can't, but I don't feel as if I would be this settled and this ready for what's about to come next if I'd not given up alcohol, that's for sure.
Dead exciting. I can't wait to meet baby Ben. Right, enough Auntie about Shaz. Us. Auntie Shaz. Oh, it's got a ring to it, that, hasn't it? We do this every week. We say it's going to be a brief intro, welcome to Over the Influence, blah, 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 and then we just get banging on about alcohol-free life. This podcast is all about you. It's all about your stories, your experiences. It's about the amazing guests that come on. Dead excited about today's guest. I think this is the first time we've met in actual person, and I say in person, of course, over Zoom. We met in an alcohol-free group many, many moons ago. Welcome, Jamie Cole, who is on the, let me get this right, my geography is diabolical, the east coast of the USA in a place called Maryland. But you'd pronounce it a little bit differently.
You got it perfectly. And yep, you're pretty much right. It's Maryland, but I think that's said with a Maryland accent. So Maryland works perfectly.
Maryland. It sounds very Lancashire, that, doesn't it? Jamie yeah, Cole, it's fantastic to have you here. I barely recognize you.
Yeah, I'll bet. We met and I looked quite different. We met, I guess it's been a little over 3 years because I am about 15 months, I think, alcohol free now. And when I started that journey, I was about 120 pounds heavier. And so different face, different everything at that point.
Hang on. And I then need to do some sums. Just let me get my calculator out because I'm rubbish here. So 120 pounds divided by 14, that's like 8.5 stone.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yes. I lost a bunch of stone.
Seriously, eight and a half stone. You've lost like a human.
I really did. I actually lost like one of me, which is crazy. I never expected to. It wasn't like, I mean, the not drinking wasn't because I was hoping to lose 100, you know, so many pounds. But yeah, it definitely was the catalyst to start a journey of health. And it really was quite a journey.
Oh, my goodness me. There is so much to talk about. Your beaming smile on the Zoom camera says it all. Jamie, it's so lovely to actually see you in person. Thank you for your time. I'm glad we got there with the time differences because, like I said, I'm not known for my geography and the changing clocks. Let's rewind. We've got your story to talk about over the last couple of years. What brought you to the point where you thought, you know what? It's time to make a change. Drinking is causing me problems.
Yeah, you know, I was in my mid-30s and I was overweight and uncomfortable. My body hurt, but that had been something that I had been dealing with for a really long time. I was in a really happy relationship. We had between the two of us four like great kids, and I was miserable. I was just depressed. I was tired. Everything hurt all the time. I was in a cycle of knowing that I was drinking too much at night, but still acting like I didn't know. You know, it was just a couple glasses of wine, but every morning I'd wake up really uncomfortable with a hangover or at least part of, you know, some symptoms. And I was starting to hate myself because every morning I would say I wasn't going to drink. It would get into my head. And every evening I'd find myself with a glass of wine, or I'd find myself at the store to pick up something, not even realizing I had gotten there, you know? So one day I looked in the mirror and I was so sick from the night before. It was a Sunday, and peace just came right over me. And I thought, it's time. Something has to change. And then I like cried a lot. And I think I screamed in the shower because I was terrified of what that meant. Because even just admitting that there might be a reason to stop was terrifying to me. But that's what brought me to it pretty much, was just every bit of pain, physical, emotional, mental, had kind of culminated to a point where something had to change, something had to give.
Jamie, it was established at the beginning, I'm the numbers guy. Although, Shaz, you got your calculator out for the weight loss numbers.
Yeah, but I had to actually use my calculator app on the phone.
No, it was brilliant. But Jamie, you said then that you guys met in an alcohol-free community 3 years ago, but you're 15 months alcohol-free. So it didn't necessarily click straight away?
You know, you are a numbers guy. So I must have met Sharon a little earlier because I joined. So I got this sense of peace, and I had started, I think a lot of us that try to stop drinking get this. I had started Googling, and am I an alcoholic? Yeah. So then my Facebook was flooded with like alcohol-free groups and things. So I found one and I signed up. And one thing that I found very quickly was that I needed to find people that were a little bit ahead of me on their journey that I could trust, because I didn't trust anything about quitting alcohol and that I could be happy from doing that. And Sharon was one of the ones on there that was very vocal about her journey, very honest. We weren't getting BS at all. Like, I could just see that she was a true human showing up in her humanness, but trying to do something for herself. And I'm like, I want that. I want to be that person. What do I do? Well, the one thing she kept saying was don't drink and don't be a jerk. I'll say it that way. And
we can say it as it is. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Absolutely.
I thought, if that's not a sister in another country, I don't know what is. Jamie. So I'll follow her and I'll trust what's happening and I'll just see. And I did that with a few people, and it clicked. It really did. It clicked over and over and over and over again, because it's not just a one-time click. But that's where it started.
A sister, you know, in another vista. I'm not sure if that actually.
Sister
I'm
in another
sure
vista.
If that even makes sense.
Sort of works. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It sort of works. Yeah.
Love a name.
What you've just described there about seeing somebody, you know, sharing their journey and without the BS, about being honest, about, yeah, singing about the good bits, but also really sharing the bad bits as well. That is over the influence in a nutshell. That is why we do what we do. Yes, we've got a community of members, Jamie, that get together online, and you know what that's like. It's that connection. It's that you're not on your own. And we've got people that simply listen to the podcast, listening to us week in, week out, hundreds upon hundreds now of hours worth of episodes. And it's we don't come at this like pretending to be anything we're not. We simply just share what our alcohol-free journeys have been like and what they continue to be like. So thank you for that. It's just confirmation of why we do what we do, because not everybody's vocal, are they? Not everybody feels brave enough to speak about it in the beginning. Like you said, Jamie, you felt scared, overwhelmed. How could I possibly live without alcohol? Yet here you are. I still can't get over this. 8.5 stone lighter. You just look so petite and delicate and very alcohol free. Tell us about how your life has changed, being frightened in the beginning to where you are now.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll start with kind of a funny story about that. I've always been in my head, I've always liked to share my experiences to try to help others. Like, but I didn't have a lot of inspiring experiences because I was kind of miserable. So I joined this group and I see people like you showing up, being vulnerable, like just being you. And I'm like thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm seeing people like that I want to be someday. Well, so what I went ahead and did was I quit alcohol, and then I decided I'd start running and I would be a good mom and I would meal prep and I'd do all these things right away so that I could write about how good life was in the group without alcohol. Like, instead of wanting to come from an honest and vulnerable place, I wanted to make my life better so that I could also be inspiring. And what I learned through the beatdown of daily finding out how to not drink was that I couldn't pretend my way out of it. I had to start getting really honest about what my life looked like with me, regardless. I mean, let alone talk about it with other people first. And so that led me to start looking at choices and looking at, like, really, what is the power of a choice? Because what anything that the alcohol-free journey has taught me is that the one choice of no over and over and over again builds this life of freedom, like builds this completely free life, because I said no to alcohol every day for 1,184 days. Then that's where I am now. I looked it up just in case you guys asked me. So about 6 months of that journey, well, first couple months of the journey was a lot of crashing and burning and wondering why I was doing it wrong, because I felt so terrible. I felt tired. I was feeling feelings for the first time in like 20 years and everything hurt. And I keep using that word, but it just did. But there were some people in the group that kept saying, be gentle, like eat all the chocolate, stop trying to run. You know, you got to learn how to crawl first. And through those little choices, those little no's, I started to open up this vacuum of space of like learning what it is that I might say yes to in response to no. And it started with walking, and it started with like looking at the world around me and trying to figure out what joy meant, and like starting to follow those little threads that I had never followed in my life, because before, joy was happy hour. I mean, that's what I thought. And now there's just so much more connection in my life. And that, so after 6 months of really getting like a solid core of knowing that I wasn't going to drink if I got a very minor trigger, I had had played it forward plenty of times. I was comfortable in myself. I was heavier than I'd ever been, because the first 6 months I gained another 20 pounds from eating all the things and drinking all the alcohol-free beer. Then I started looking at my body and like weight and going, you have tried to beat yourself into pretty your whole life. Why don't we just love it? Like, you've been loving yourself for 6 months on this alcohol thing. What if you just walk because it actually feels nice, and like stop thinking about being the better person, stop thinking about making life better to talk about it. And that's when the focus turned to health and movement, and just asking myself, really, what is good for me today? What's going to bring me to my goal of like health and being an example for my teenage girls? And gosh darn it, if I didn't walk my way and talk my way into a pretty fun life now, I've got some pretty cool stuff going on.
Jamie, Shaz told me that I was going to love you as a podcast guest, and I absolutely do. Like, how beautifully honest is that? Because basically what you're saying is that when you started this, you kind of, you wanted to show off a bit, you know, you wanted to tell the world, look at how well I'm doing and look how great it is. And then it came crashing down because you tried to do too much stuff at once. There's a few really interesting things in there. I think, first of all, we had Annika Reese on the podcast a few weeks ago talking about manifestation. And what you were doing was essentially going, right, this is the life that I want. So you were kind of like, there's some good positives in that. You know, these are the things that I'd like to show off about. That's essentially, this is the person that I want to be. This is the life I want to build. So there's some really good parts of that. What's really interesting is you tried to do it all at once. And I think somebody who's, you know, very into personal development and reads all the books and a lot more academic and official than me would call it habit stacking. But actually what we would say is that it's about doing one thing at a time, isn't it? It's about putting one foot in front of the other. And actually, it's really interesting that you kind of, I mean, I'm sorry that you had to learn it with things coming, you know, crashing down a bit. And because that process must have been really difficult. It must have been really difficult to pick yourself up, because I've been there. Everyone's been there. When you try and do something and you don't achieve it in the way that you think you want to achieve it, it's very easy to go, you can't do this. You're a failure. And that brings us to a whole different conversation, in the sense of, I think that failure is seen very different in the States than it is here in the UK, actually. I think that failure is seen as part of the process in the States culturally. I think that failure is frowned upon here in the UK a bit more. But I think you realise that actually, don't try and do everything at once. Just do the first thing. Do you think that all of these other things, because, you know, I imagine that now you do feel like a great mom, that you are, you have been on an incredible weight loss journey. Yeah. All of these things that you wanted at the beginning have happened. But was alcohol the key? Was removing alcohol the key?
Oh, yeah. 100%. There's no doubt in my, like you were saying, I don't know if I'd be here if I hadn't have stopped. I mean, that is literally the truth for me. I wouldn't be sitting here with you guys. But beyond that, I had such codependent relationships with like feeling guilty about my own behavior and then kind of oozing that about everybody. So what I like to like imagine is I just kind of lived in debt, like energetic debt. I just felt bad about my being because I was making choices that I knew didn't really align with me. And so stopping, first of all, changed that pretty quickly, I think, because one of the things I had to do to be successful in this was forgive myself and start learning how to not like live in that I'm sorry mode, because that was just such a miserable place to be. And it has changed everything. I mean, I have four kids, but my daughters are just, they talk about how they don't even remember when I used to like drink wine and stuff. And that's ludicrous that my kids don't remember, because I was pretty embarrassing. I was like the life of the party. I thought I was the life of the party. I was loud and I did it a lot and I'm very social. So they had plenty of experiences to remember, and they had plenty of times that they were let down. They had plenty of times that I had to go through the guilt and shame of remembering what I had done when I was drinking once I stopped. But doing that and trying to do it honestly and vulnerably and actually apologizing to them for some things, not from a manipulative mommy drinks and I want you to feel okay about it way, but from a, hey, I recognize that I have made choices that may not have made you feel safe in my presence at times. And I want you to know, I don't ever want to do that again. And I'm sorry. And those conversations have happened because of not drinking. And those conversations have set me free from shame. So I don't have to like eat my shame or drink my shame or hide from my shame. I can like live honestly and not be afraid of the dark spaces.
Oh, you're so honest, Jamie. You're so honest. Do you mind if I ask you how old your children are?
Sure. I have two biological daughters who are 16 and 12. And I have two stepchildren who are 16 and 14.
Wow.
So, lots of teens. And they also, I actually am really blessed in that I made this decision after many, many times of trying to quit. And my husband, who was then my boyfriend, also trying to quit. He didn't have quite the love of alcohol that I did, but he was also like participating. And we tried many times together. And I finally got really clear that this had to be a me thing. And he didn't stop with me. This was like a my path thing, but eventually he joined me on this. And it's just really been a beautiful gift to his kids as well, because we're both these examples of people that we're doing something that wasn't serving us, and now we've made a choice to do it differently. And there's a whole bunch of other things that go into it, but that's the basic thing. We're humans that are learning how to do better, and we're trying to teach them that we can.
We're just going to take a really quick break. I promise it'll be quick because we really want to get back to this episode with Jamie. It's just
yeah, sure.
Oh, honestly. Right, I'll
Sorry.
Keep this. I'll keep
yeah.
it quick.
Sharon Hartley cannot do a short
can't
break.
Do it. I can't do it. I'll try. It's dead exciting meeting somebody. I say in the flesh. It's over Zoom. It's as good as we're going to get if somebody's based on the East Coast of the States in Maryland, as I call it. She pronounces it in such a beautiful way, like
Maryland.
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 Maryland. And I'm like, Maryland! Anyway, it's so good. It just reminds me of that Peter Kay sketch where he's going, garlic bread.
You said it. What were you going to say, love? Sorry.
What I was going to say.
Jamie on Zoom.
It's just been marvellous. It's just been so lovely. I knew she'd be lovely anyway because we used to be in the same group many, many moons ago, you know, when we both started out on our AF journeys. But what I want to pick up on and what Jamie has said during the course of this episode is that connection. And it's looking at people that are further ahead. Ben, there was somebody on a Zoom call this week, a new member. Now, we think Helen... We always mention Helen, don't we? She's coming up for 8 years sober. This chap's yeah. just joined us. He's called Mike, originally from South Africa, now based in Epsom. He's got a fascinating story, great character, and 5 years plus alcohol free. And again, Brilliant. It just shows you the importance of connection, which is what Jamie sings about, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's been talking about connection. Community is a word that she's used a few times already in this episode. She'll use them a few more. If you thought the first half of this episode was good, by the way, wait till the second half. She is fabulous. But she uses the word community. She also talks about you, Jess.
And makes how me you're feel inspiration. Like, oh, really weird.
But it's that phrase, if you can see it, you can be it. And I think that's what I love the most about Over the Influence, the community, is that you got people who are just starting out, but like... I haven't met him yet. You say his name was Mike, this new fellow
Mike,
who's joined
yes.
us.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Mike
yeah.
in Epsom. You know, brilliant that he's got a few years under his belt. Yes, we've got Helen, who's 8 years. We've got another fellow who's 7 years alcohol free. It's great to have people in there who have been there, done it, because it really is true. If you can see it, you can be it. These are normal people who decided to make an extraordinary change. go to our community if you feel like you could use some of that inspiration. It is Sober October right now. The community is buzzing. Overtheinfluence.co.uk, then click join us. Big orange buttons, join our community all the way down the page. It's either a monthly membership or an annual membership, and it gets you in to not just member Zooms. You also get the premium podcast as part of your membership. You get access to all of our events that only community members can book on. There's real life meetups happening all the time with the regional groups that are in there. What else is on there, Shaz? So much stuff. We just want to give
loads of stuff
to help. Yeah, loads of stuff.
And as well, if you listen to this now, you're probably just over halfway through Sober October. Keep going, okay? Yes. That's all I want to say. Just keep flipping going. It's so worth it. Should we get back to the episode? Because you said we were going to keep this brief and you're the one that won't stop talking.
Let's get back to the episode. Just said it quickly.
One of my favourite sayings to do with quitting drinking. Yes, I made a decision that I was going to take a break, and I've never drunk since. Full stop, end of. So, you know, you could call it blip free, and some people might look on and go, oh, it's been easy for you. You've just never picked up a drink since. It hasn't been easy, because I think prior to that, you have a run up, don't you? This seed is planted, be it at whatever age. You know, I think I was maybe mid-30s, sort of getting on to late 30s, thinking, all right, OK, I'll do Sober October and I'll try January and I'll get bored with that and I'll start drinking on the 4th of January because it's such a crap, miserable month anyway. So you have these runs up and runs up and runs up. And so it was never all plain sailing. But going back to what you've just talked about there about behaviour and apologising and all the rest of it, what am I... absolute favourite sayings is that the best apology is changed behaviour. And so for me, stopping drinking on the 3rd of September 2018, saying, I'm going to take a break and I'm not going to drink. And then when I hit that 90 days, okay, I'm going to go for the year and I'm not going to have a drink. Simple as that. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And for me, I didn't feel like I sort of had to go, I'm really sorry, I've been a drunken dick for many, many years. It was just the act of not drinking and keeping that promise, not just to myself, but to my family who, you know, I've got kids, you know, I've embarrassed them over the years. Of course I have. And that just sticks in my mind. And I just think it's just so important that sometimes you don't need to have really sort of, it works for some people, you don't need to sit down and have really difficult conversations. Your kids watch. Mm-hmm. They watch, don't they? They watch when you're drinking, but equally they watch when you're not. And the impact of both is, it's massive, particularly the not drinking, because that's the positive. So you must be so proud. And I just admire you so much for everything that you've said, the honesty that you've discussed there. I think that's a really big deal.
Well, that's been the biggest gift. I mean, that is truly like that's... If I could say the biggest gift of all the drinking and not drinking, it's been this honesty journey. The truth is just like my whole life, I didn't feel like me. I like just felt so misaligned and I didn't understand why. And I'm looking at the outside world and what I see is like, you know, that I'm not good enough. That's really just what it came down to always. And I think the drinking really tried to fix that. And when I stopped, actually I stopped for 28 days and at day like 26, I started getting really panicky if I should go to the 90 day challenge. And I was even posting, you know, oh my gosh, I need to make this decision. I don't know if I can. And then I go to make the decision and I had accidentally in my non-sober state signed up for the 90 days challenge originally. So I hadn't like, I was already signed up. I didn't have to make the decision. So I thought, well, that's a universe sign. But that was just another place where I had to surrender and go, you know what? I got to be honest with myself. 28 days wasn't long enough for me to go, okay, I feel good. I don't need to drink. I'm still like plagued by making these decisions. So I need to go a little longer. And that self-honesty just started to feel free. And I just wanted to like show that as an example. Like if I can feel this free and this like bright because I'm honest with myself, and I don't have this scary places to hide anymore like I had for so long, then I want everybody to feel that. Like, and I don't care if, I mean, some people, a lot of people in my life still have alcohol. It's not about alcohol, but it's about being honest with yourself and then being honest with, you know, the people in your life that you want to be with. So that is the biggest gift, is this honesty, because I felt like I hid for 40, 37 years. And now it's like, here I am. Hi.
Jamie, I'd love to ask you a bit more about your weight loss journey. One of the things that we always talk about is that removing alcohol is just the beginning. And we had the coaches on a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. Yeah. And they were talking about how, you know, they don't just work with people on removing the alcohol. That's the first thing they work with people on. But then it's, okay, you've removed the alcohol. What do you want to do next? What do you want to achieve? My question is, because I totally get when you're talking about being a mom, that as a mother, alcohol influenced the behavior that you didn't like. And therefore, you had to remove the alcohol to remove that behavior in front of the kids. I get that. When it comes to that weight loss goal, could you have done that without removing alcohol? Like, because lots of people who drink do decide, I'm going to go on a weight loss journey and I'm going to lose this weight. Could you have done that? Or did you need to remove the alcohol to do that?
So the way that I lost weight, I talk about anybody can lose it how it feels good to them, right? But the way that I lost weight was I learned about something called intermittent fasting. So I learned about eating in certain windows of time, and that was figuring out how to learn to make my blood sugar more steady. So that's how I did it. So how I came to be able to do that was learning how to say no every day over alcohol and making the tiny consistent choice and not looking at needing to quit forever, but just needing to quit on Monday, just needing to not drink on Tuesday, just needing to not drink on Wednesday. So when I finally came to the place of like really looking at weight loss from a place of love and not from a place of like, you're so heavy, you can't do the things you want, you need to be a good example for your kids. Like when I dropped all that and thought, what can I do that's going to nourish me? I thought back to the drinking thing. And the answer was little pieces, like learn a piece and get consistent and learn how to get that one little thing down, and don't worry about the weight. Like, you know, try to move a little more, or like, you know, learn this new concept with the intermittent fasting, because it was making my body feel better. And I knew I needed to work on my blood sugar. I was heavy. There was a chance I might get diabetes at some point. So I tried to really take the weight out of it for the first time in my life and really focus on what can I consistently daily work on in the way that I did on the alcohol journey, and drop the major goal. Because the major goal for me was 30 pounds, even though I was so much heavier than 30 pounds was unbelievable. I had never done that. I had only ever gained weight in my life. I'd never lost weight, even through all the diet programs and trying. So to go back to your question, I don't think I would have or could have. I might have found intermittent fasting, but I know I would have found myself a failure. Like that's what I would have called myself, rather than, oh, I didn't do the eating window I was planning on today. Okay, tomorrow, let's just try it. Like, I had that mindset of trying on a daily basis rather than do it or don't do it, fail, pass. Like you were saying, the UK or where you are is maybe less fail. Like maybe we are a little better about failing and trying again. I think the US is definitely not fail tolerant. And what I try to teach people is that failure is like, it's like a dial, like, oh, that didn't work. Let's change the trajectory. Let's move a little bit and see if we can keep going on the journey. That little obstacle, we all have them. We cannot call ourselves failures when we do that. It's just a piece and we keep going. So yeah. Now, if I was still drinking, I do believe people could lose weight if they're drinking. I think that's a thing you can do, but I could not have hit the goal that I hit or the surpassed the goal that I had with alcohol in my life.
So many people, I think, when they start out in the early days, Jamie, and they look on, and somebody might be listening to this going, well, Sharon's 4 years alcohol-free now, Ben's more than two, I'll never get there, I can't do it, it's impossible. It's not impossible. And I think what can be really overwhelming at first is that people, And this comes back to what you were talking about right at the beginning of this chat about almost doing too much too soon and expecting everything to slot into place the minute you drop alcohol. Right, I've not been drinking for a week. Why have I not lost 50 pounds? Why am I not running marathons? Why am I not climbing mountains? Everybody else is doing this. Why is that not happening for me? And we've spoken to a couple of guests on the podcast. We've got Niamh, who lives in Spain. We spoke to a chap called Nigel, who does 9 kilometres before 9 a.m. every day. And so many other people as well. It's about bringing it back to basics in many ways and what's manageable. So as you said there, it's focusing on today, not drinking. So if you would normally drink at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, what are you going to do tonight? Maybe just go for that walk. And it's keeping it simple, isn't it? And walking for so many people and just getting your trainers on and just getting a bit of fresh air wherever you may be, reconnecting with nature again at the risk of sounding a complete knob, because I do every time I say this, reconnecting with nature, listening to the birds. It's so true. And I think in those really early days, Jamie, it's so important to keep it simple. Go back to basics. Don't drink today. And maybe just go for a short walk. And then 20 minutes later, you've nailed both, haven't you? And that's where it starts. And that's where you start to build and build and build.
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't take much to start the momentum moving, but you have to start. And it doesn't have to be hardly anything. It's one step. I mean, one step, one no, one yes, one anything builds upon itself. And yeah, I agree with you. It's just, it is incredible what you can do piece by piece on this journey. If you let go of the idea of it just being one big thing, this is not one big thing. I did not just become 3 years sober. You did not just become 4 years sober and a podcaster, like an incredible podcaster. We had to build tiny little pieces to get here.
Yeah, but it all counts, doesn't it? It just all counts. When you think it's tough, stick with it, and those little bits all count. Ben, I can see you wanted to jump in there. Sorry,
Shaz, I just wanted to praise you actually for that, because it's so true. Like this big impossible thing, giving up alcohol forever.
Yeah.
It's actually a small possible thing when you think I'm not going to drink today.
Just
and you just do
down.
That consistently every day. You know what? The last time that I was successfully and happily getting closer towards my weight loss target, because I've got a number in my head that I'd really like to hit. The last time I was moving towards that successfully was when I was doing intermittent fasting. And then what happened is that we got really busy. I had a really busy afternoon, and then the kids and something happened and the evening got derailed, and I was going to cook something healthy at a decent time and I didn't. We ended up eating really late, a kind of crappy takeaway. And I did, you know, I didn't take the lessons of giving up alcohol. I went, oh, well, I failed that now and I've broken my streak and I can't, you know, and that I haven't done it since then, actually. Mm-hmm. And I've not thought about that until you started talking about it. But yes, it's always felt like this big impossible thing for me, hitting target weight. It's actually a small possible thing, getting closer to target weight every day. You know, and it is just a mindset, as long as I do it consistently.
Yeah, and you don't have, consistent doesn't have to mean the same either. Like, so when I stopped drinking, I was at quite a frenzy because I had wanted to stop for so long. And I don't know if this happens to you guys, but like if I want something and I'm not getting it, it's like the energy's building and it's almost like frenetic. So at the end, I was drinking a lot of alcohol, basically because I wanted to stop. It was like my body was going like, no.
Totally.
Isn't it crackers? Your mind just goes, right, so, okay, I'm going to take a break. I need to take a break. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to drink all the alcohol.
Yeah. If I drink enough, I'll be ready.
Yeah.
If I drink enough, then I'll be ready, right?
Oh.
So, okay, side note, there's never a good time and you're never ready. So if you hear that, that's your sign that today's the day that you're ready. That's number one. Number two, I couldn't say to myself, I'm not going to drink today. That wasn't a simple solution for me in the beginning. Mine was deciding to take a different exit home with tears streaming down my face, because I knew if I took the normal exit, I'd end up at the liquor store without knowing, like I would end up in the parking lot. So my first couple of weeks were just taking okay, at this hour, I will leave work and I'll take a different way home. At this hour, I'll sit on my hands while we're watching TV and I'll try to get through an episode. It was those types of choices at first that like then built up. And there were times where I can kind of like what you're saying, Ben, like I didn't do it right. So maybe instead of taking a walk, I did just like cry in the bathtub. And then there was a place there where I could have said, I failed. I'm still crying. I shouldn't be feeling like this. I'm just going to drink tomorrow. But instead, there was this muscle building because I was looking at people that had gone ahead of me going, I didn't do it the way I wanted to today, but I didn't drink. And
You
that's
still did it.
literally the only
You
thing I
still did it.
needed. Right. And that became a way to forgive myself for the things that I shouldn't have been calling a failure anyway. It was just a learning.
I think what you're saying, Jamie, is that if something goes slightly wrong, it doesn't mean that it's all gone wrong as well. You know,
Oh, that's beautiful.
I think that's really, and again, that is a hugely, it's small, but it's big. You know, if just because something goes wrong doesn't mean then you have to let it completely derail.
Exactly. And there's this other thing that I learned over time that I found to be really important, which is sometimes we can't trust our feelings in that when I'm not drinking in the early days, I feel like crap. I feel like shit. Like I just want to cry. I feel like a failure. What have I done to my family? You know, all these things. I feel terrible. However, if I'm being honest with myself and I ask myself what my choices are tonight, am I going to drink? Am I going to find some way to do another thing, right? And I think about my goal of not really not wanting to drink, then I can make the choice of not drinking will make me feel better later rather than it's like taking away the instant gratification part of failure and starting to be on I mean feelings and starting to be honest about what do I really want to feel, and do I want to feel that right now in sacrifice for later, or do I want to just kind of be a little uncomfortable now knowing that I'm really getting closer to that thing I want to feel. That's kind of what helped me was starting to learn how to get pulled by the feeling I wanted to have rather than stuck in the feeling I was in.
Chance, people are going to be taking notes on this episode, aren't they? Like, there's so many amazing things that have come out of this. I love that.
I'm learning so much.
Yeah.
Honestly, Jamie, you've got so much to say. It's brilliant. One of my favorite words. Isn't it brilliant?
On the
Well, I
subject
just
of, sorry, Jamie.
No, go ahead. I really didn't have anything to say. I was just going to say, I just find it funny how, it's just life stuff. It's just human stuff. It's awarenesses of how we can kind of get through in a little bit more of a successful way. Like there was a time when I just wanted to be happy and I couldn't even tell you what that meant. Now it's like that's a long time ago. Now it's like I want to thrive. I want to help others thrive. I want to help others learn that being happy is the beginning. Being not miserable is the beginning. That's just like step one on like your whole life's journey now. And it really takes a couple small choices. Little bit of discomfort, sometimes a lot of discomfort at first, but it's still in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing like what's on the other side.
Shaz, did you see the post from former podcast guest Fraser Franks recently? Because I know you like following Fraser Franks. Fraser Franks is another soccer player over here in the UK, Jamie. And he posts lots of photos of him having a swim in his trunks,
Listen,
doesn't he, Shaz?
if Fraser Franks chooses to wear budgie smugglers with the body he's got in the sea just down the road from me and share it on his Insta story, I for
Yes.
one am going to be watching and be
Yes.
inspired. Thank
Well,
you.
as a keen Fraser Franks follower, I think is probably how we should phrase it.
Yeah.
You probably would have seen this about what he was saying about feelings and the power of the word feel, and how feeling an emotion is exactly that. You're feeling an emotion. You are not the feeling. And how, for example, I'm lonely, I'm sad, I'm unsuccessful. If you say, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling unsuccessful, it just puts a little bit of distance between that. And I think that's a really lovely way of thinking about feelings and how actually what everything that we've talked about is essentially the power of your kind of internal dialogue, isn't it? Is that you can choose how to react to things. You can choose how to behave. Jamie, whether it's going back to small steps or feelings or anything that we've talked about, it comes back to actually, we have the power, don't we, to do this. We are not powerless. And small mindset shifts can lead to huge, gigantic lifestyle changes. Yeah. It's been so lovely to speak to you. I've really, really enjoyed this episode.
I have too. I've this has just been wonderful. The one, if I could just add one little thing to what you just said, I think it was really important, which is that I think feelings are like the foundation of everything. And I think that when we stop drinking, we feel them for the first time in a long time. And it's just like, holy moly, you're dealing with a lot. But once you learn how to like feel them and understand, I'm feeling sad today, you can actually think, okay, I am feeling sad. I want to feel happy, whatever. I want to feel this. Is there anything like, what thought would serve me here? What would help me get to that place? And you can start making conscious choices. And those little tiny choices are like I said, a compass earlier, you do a tiny degree of change and a few 100 miles or kilometers down the road, you have gone a major different direction, but it's from 1 degree trajectory change. So yeah, it doesn't take much.
Jamie, as you know, we've got some community members watching this episode being recorded. I just got to mention that when we first started chatting right at the beginning, you talked about your incredible weight loss. Wow, congratulations, OMG, that's an amazing achievement. So loads of huge congrats there from our community members. Katrina's asked a question. She says, how did your friends react to your lifestyle change? And as a follow-up, have your circle of friends changed since you became alcohol-free?
Those are really good questions because they were the things I was the most scared of because I really was what I would consider like the life of our party. We did a lot of block parties. There was, alcohol was flowing in every aspect of social situations in my life. So I was terrified. I would say my friends, I was really quiet about it at first. It's not that I was hiding it, but I didn't know how to talk about it. I was so uncomfortable with my decision. So my friends didn't know for a little while. And then I started trickling information out. That's when I sort of found out that I had some friends that were truly drinking buddies and social friends that were maybe not going to serve me in the long run and maybe I needed to take a break from. And then I had some really beautiful, supportive people that I didn't realize were rooting me on in the background. So my circle of friends did eventually change, but it got a lot richer. It did get a little smaller, but the quality over quantity is something I didn't even know was a thing until I had the friends that I do. And our relationships are a lot more vulnerable and open, a lot deeper discussions. But I did have a lot of people, I will say, I had a group of people that were worried about me. I was making behavior changes. I was, doing something different, especially when I started losing weight. I had a lot of concerned people that my life was looking different. And it was just learning how to deal with that with grace and trying to understand that it was coming from love and care. I'm really happy with my group now. I'm really open about my journey to anybody, friends or not friends, but it's because I feel safe with the group of friends I have. I can come back to them. I can run with my tail between my legs if somebody's mean to me about being alcohol free and I got the safe space. So it was a change. It is a process and it was beautiful.
Sharon, can we end this episode with our favourite quotes from Jamie Cole?
Oh my gosh. So you've just read my mind. You've honestly, Ben has literally read my mind. Right, Jamie. So when we were exchanging emails and I said, just send me a little bit more information about your journey. I read this line and I thought, this is it. This is it. This to me sums up what life is like when you make that decision just today to remove alcohol, right? So I just want to read this back to you. This is utterly glorious. So you said here, if my life were a colouring book, the pages would be similar to 3 years ago. Okay? Same kids, same husband, same house, same animals. The difference is that 3 years ago, I had no crayons to bring it to life. They were spent. Everything looked grey and flat. Now, there is a richness and vibrancy that I can't wait to wake up for. It's that image. It's the colouring in your colouring book. And I just went, Ben, have you seen the line about the colouring book? That's it for me. Say no more. Jamie, it was beautiful.
I didn't even remember writing that, but it's true. I hope that resonates with so many, because it's true. It was just gray. There just wasn't anything to color, really. Or I had no colors to give. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's true.
You're more than welcome. And if that wasn't enough, Ben then picked out another bit.
Jamie, can I give you my favorite Jamie Cole quote?
Okay.
I believe that we're the master navigators of our own lives. And whether we recognize we are at the helm or not, we are the ones steering our ship. Learning to do so with a clear vision, an inner trust, and a community supporting you as you learn to navigate your way will take you anywhere you want to go in this life.
That's what I teach my ladies.
That's
what Alcohol Free gives us. That's what I get to talk to women about every single day. And it's just like, oh my God, we're master navigators. We rule our worlds.
It's too much emotion in this episode. Blimey, it's been so good.
I'm exploding. I feel like bubbles everywhere.
Well, before you explode, Jamie, I'd love you to give a good old plug to what you're doing now, because obviously you're using your own alcohol-free journey, your health journey as well, to help and inspire others. If people have been inspired, people that have been inspired by this episode, because it's an absolute cracker, where can they find more information about what you do, Jamie?
Right now, I am on Facebook and Instagram under my business name, which is Direct Reflect Expect. And I also have a website under the same name. It's directreflectexpect.net, which just gives information about who I am and what we do. And that is my message. We're master navigators. We don't have to be conscious of that. We're still navigating our lives. If we can learn how to be conscious and make choices from that inner space, I mean, we really do become the masters. I'd love to connect. You can shoot me a DM or a message. I'm open to chatting with anybody. This is my favorite thing to talk about.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
Well, not only is it your favorite thing to talk about, we've loved listening today. And Kelly has just put in our chat box, thank you, Jamie. I needed that boost of motivation and inspiration tonight. Thank you. Fabulous.
Thanks, Kelly.
What a fabulous chat. I love Jamie. I think she's brilliant. And you know what, Ben? I'm going to put her on my list to invite her into the community to host a members masterclass.
Oh, please do.
We didn't really talk an awful lot about what she does. We talked obviously about her story, which was marvellous, but she gives back. She does coaching herself in all sorts of areas of life. I think she focuses on women in particular.
Wonderful. I talked to my women about this. I love that.
Yeah. I'd love to invite her back into the community. We've talked a lot about connection. We've talked a lot about community. One of the perks of our community is that there are people that join these Zoom recordings. Some people, actually, they choose not to. I think they see it as a bit of a spoiler. And they like to wait until it drops on the Monday. We really do lift the curtain, don't we?
Yes, we do. Because when this podcast comes out, dear listener, you know it's incredibly slick produced. Incredibly well. And it's not always so slick when we record it. No, I love when community members can ask their questions like they did in this episode with Jamie. It's lovely. If you're sitting at home and thinking, you know what, I really like this podcast, but Ben and Sharon ask some daft bloody questions. My questions would be so much better. Well, this is your opportunity. Join us and you can ask your questions directly to each and every one of our podcast guests. Don't forget, even in the last month, we've had William Porter on the podcast. The world famous William Porter has been on the podcast.
AF God.
Annika Rees has been on the podcast.
Amazing.
That episode, I keep mentioning her, but she has literally gone down an absolute storm.
Can I just say, on that episode, the feedback was crackers.
Unbelievable. Great. They love her.
Really,
people love
really
Annika.
Good.
Yeah, and
really
I think it is. Good. It's a word that's kind of, manifestation is a word that's entered the public consciousness properly only in the last few years, I think. And so, yeah, lots of people are very interested in that. People are asking Annika their questions directly because they're a member of our community, because they joined the podcast recording, which isn't slick. If you would like to do that, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and join our community. You can get a monthly membership or an annual membership. The benefits of annual membership is that you get a bit of money off, basically. The monthly, it's really flexible. You can cancel any time. We don't tie you in for a 12-month contract. T's and C's apply. It's very, very relaxed. It's just go, have a look, overtheinfluence.co.uk, and then join our community. So many benefits, so much to do. It's great if we say so ourselves, but we are really proud of it, aren't we, Shaz? We're very proud of what has been created here. And
it's crackers.
It's crackers, yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it. It's crackers, it's brilliant, it's thoroughly enjoyable, it's a laugh, and from the feedback we receive, we're not saying this, I say it's changing lives, you're changing your life. I think we just sort of facilitate that process. It's a little bit of hand-holding, it's connecting you with like-minded people. Just give it a try, and if it's not for you, c'est la vie, we totally get that. But it might just be the missing piece to your alcohol-free jigsaw. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. See, that was quite brief-ish. Was it?
No, not really, but Shaz, don't change. See you next week.
Bye.